Good morning. Last week we looked at some of the concepts of that Jesus taught about prayer, and we looked at the prayer that he offered prior to raising Lazarus, and it kind of reminded me the prayer Preston prayed this morning, how Jesus prayed, I thank you that you always hear me, and that concept that Jesus and we can go to God and be confident that he hears us. We also looked at the prayer that he offered during what we call the Lord's Supper. Well, today we're going to look at two very sobering prayers. It is the prayer that he prayed in the garden before his arrest and before his crucifixion, and then also the prayer that he prayed on the cross. And there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from those prayers that Jesus gave at those times. We're going to first look at the prayer in the garden. And Colin read in our scripture reading today, taken from Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39. It not only gives you the setting and the mood, but it also gets in a little bit of what Jesus prayed about. It says, starting verse 36, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed." We need to remember this is going to be just a short time before his arrest. This is after what we refer to as the Last Supper. He is aware that his time is at hand. And Preston, in our Bible class this morning, we established the fact that Jesus, the Son, was God. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. The man Jesus knew what was coming. And it wasn't going to be fun. It wasn't going to be pleasant. The God part of him knew it had to be done. He goes on to say, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" He goes on to say, "Then he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" We see the complete yielding to God's will. Not what he wanted. I know I catch myself sometimes praying what I want, what I desire, and there's nothing wrong with letting God know what we want, but it seems like a lot of times I catch myself focusing on my will instead of, like Jesus did, focusing on God's will. In John chapter 17, we see a more detailed account of the things he prayed about. And through this is a fairly lengthy passage that I'm going to read, and I hope I don't mess it up too much, but you may want to read along in your Bible silently. with me as I read it. I'm, as always, read from the New King James Version translation. But in this, we see what Jesus prayed, and we get a little bit of an insight into his mindset at this time. In addition to being deeply sorrowful and distressed, we see some of why he was distressed and what he was worried about. It starts out in verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come." His purpose from before the foundation of the world is coming to a peak. His entire existence is coming about. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." He's talking about his disciples right now, the ones that he has just had a meal with. He is praying for them, that he took out to the garden with him, and then he went a little farther to pray. He's praying for them, not for himself, for them. "Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I have kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus is praying for us. There in the garden, he's praying for his disciples and for those that they will teach that will come later. But he's also praying for us. To God the Father, Jesus prays for us. That they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. That is a common theme in the book of John. That everything that was written will lead people to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a wonderful prayer Jesus delivered to God the Father. Not only on behalf of himself, he prayed. He wasn't looking forward to going through with what was right at hand. But he focused on God's will. And he prayed for his disciples. He prayed for us. That we will have strength in the world. He's not of the world, just as his followers weren't. They lived in the world. We live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Jesus taught us in that prayer in the garden that in stressful situations, he prayed. That's how he dealt with the stress and the fretfulness that the world offers. He prayed. I know I would be better if I took his lead in that. Instead of worrying, instead of fretting about everything, drop to my knees in prayer. He prayed for God's will, not his. He was focused on serving God. He was confident, and we can be confident in our service to God. And in his distress, he prayed for others. And he prayed for us. It never takes too long to pray. I remember, I try to learn something from everybody I come across. I remember there was, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's what not to do. But I try to learn from everybody. There was a preacher that I knew many, many years ago. He's not even alive anymore. He was running late for a gospel meeting. And song leaders were kind of stretching things out, giving him time to get there. I'm out there kind of looking for him, thinking, am I going to need to get up? Because the crowd was there, the people was there, so maybe somebody else is going to have to deliver a lesson. Here he comes. He's all stressed out. He's running behind. He comes in, and he was unraveled, running late like that. And I offered, I said, Let's pray real quick. No, don't have time. That drove a point home to me. As a young man, that's all I needed to know about where his mind was. We don't have time. We always have time to pray. Always. Jesus demonstrated that himself. On the cross, Jesus offered up prayers while he was dying. He offered up some prayers. In Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34, it says, "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" What compassion that while he is dying and while he's being crucified, he understands they don't realize what and who they're doing it to. And in Mark, we see it says, "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which is translated, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" Jesus, for the first time from before the foundation of the world, is separated from God because of sin. Jesus is taking upon the sin of the world. God cannot look upon that. He has to reject sin. If he didn't reject sin, he wouldn't be God. And for the first time, there is a slight separation between Jesus and God. Jesus has never experienced that before. And for a brief time, he will have to endure that for us. Because if he didn't, God would be looking upon our sin. And in Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 46, it says, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last." Even on the cross, dying, Jesus went to God in prayer. And we can learn from this situation his compassion for others. One, just the fact that Jesus was going through the crucifixion was the compassion for others, because he didn't have to. But it was part of God's will, because God loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. And he wanted God's will to be carried out. His last words were to his Father in prayer. At any moment, we are only a prayer away from God. At any moment in our lives, stressful, fear, worry, thanks, whatever, we are a prayer away from God the Father. And he fulfilled his mission. He was confident in it. We, like Paul, Paul says, "I've finished the race. I have fought the good fight. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Like Paul, like Jesus, we can know. Wouldn't it be great on our dying few moments to know we fulfilled the mission God had for us? That we have fought that good fight. That we have finished that race. We can learn so much from the prayers that Jesus offered. I hope, as I always think, hopefully you've learned something about the prayers of Jesus and about prayer. If you didn't, if you already knew all this, I learned a lot. And so I know the lesson was worth studying because I learned something. I found this, the little kids, I think it was last week in one of the classes. It says, Jesus taught us to pray. And it was to the tune of Jesus Loves Me. They were learning this last week in their little Bible class. It says, Jesus taught us how to pray to God the Father every day. Morning, noon, and nighttime too, we can pray, and so can you. Yes, we can pray. Yes, we can pray. Yes, we can pray to God throughout the day. Straight from the mouths of the little kids. I hope you were encouraged and strengthened of what we have at our disposal and what we can learn from the prayers of Jesus. If you need to respond to the invitation, we never like to leave an assembly without offering an invitation out. You can respond to the invitation 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, that's not a certain time, that's any time. If you need to be baptized, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, this is a wonderful time to do that. If you've been searching around and have been visiting different congregations and would like to identify with us as working and worshiping with us, we would love to welcome you to worship with us here at South Valley. Whatever your need, as Curtis leads us in the invitation song, let us stand and sing. Please come forward with any needs you have.